Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and our study now is in Revelation, Part 2, and we are going to be in Lesson 4 today, and we're doing a lot of overview and a lot of picturing of Revelation. So, as we study in this part of Revelation, we'll be going through all the chapters in the book of Revelation. And it may be confusing, but as we get through it, you'll understand more why it's so necessary for us to review so much of each chapter as we study. So we need to be much in prayer. So let us begin this study in prayer today. Father, we know that all of our understanding comes from you, and we can't understand it unless we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And I pray today, as we go through this study and as we continue studying, that the Holy Spirit will give us the knowledge and the wisdom to understand your truths, Father. Because it's all about you and it's all about Jesus, your only begotten Son. And I do pray for your guidance, Father. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, our study today is picture in Revelation, and I just want to briefly get through this section and do as much review as we can before we get into chapter 4, because chapter 4, remember, in the first part of Revelation 1, John saw Jesus in the midst of the churches. In Revelation 2 and 3, these are the things which Jesus sent a message to the seven churches. And then, as we go forward in chapters 4 through 22, that's going to be the things that take place after these first three chapters. And Revelation 4 and 5 are scenes in heaven before God's throne, and it's about worship and the Lamb who is worthy to break the seals. Now, I'll take each chapter and we'll briefly cover them before we get into chapter 4. Revelation 6, we see the six seals are broken. And Revelation 7 is an interlude about 144,000 of Israel that was sealed on earth, and a multitude from the nations in heaven. Revelation 8 and 9, we see the seventh seal is broken, and seven angels are given seven trumpets to sound. Four trumpets sound in chapter 8. The fifth and sixth trumpets sound in Revelation 6. And then there are three woes that are associated with the last three trumpets. And then in Revelation 10 is another interlude, and it's about John eating the book. Now then, let's go back and look at chapter 11, and we want to see, as we go through each chapter, how all of this relates back to this vision that God gave his son Jesus. Jesus gave it to his angel, and the angel gave it to John, the disciple, the apostle, to write it down. So, let's see now, as we go forward, Revelation 11. John was given a measuring rod, and he was to measure the temple and the altar and worshipers. And he was told not to measure the temple court. And also in that chapter, there were two witnesses that prophesied for 1,260 days. That was 3.5 years. And they are described as two olive trees, two lampposts before the Lord. Now, when the two witnesses are taken to heaven, there's a great earthquake on earth, and 1/10 of the city falls, and 7,000 people are killed. And then the second woe is past. So then we go and see that the seventh trumpet and the third woe is beginning to come, and Christ at this time will reign over the kingdoms of the world. So we see the seventh trumpet and the third woe in this chapter 11 is very significant. Now then, let's go on to chapter 12. Remember, this is a picturing of all of Revelation, taking it chapter by chapter. Revelation 12, we see then there is a sign in heaven and a woman clothed with the sun. And then there's another sign in heaven and a red dragon with 7 heads, 7 diadems, and 10 horns. Now this dragon is the devil, the serpent of old. And his tail sweeps 1/3 of the stars, his angels from heaven, and throws them to the earth. And he wants to devour the woman's child. And she births a male child who is caught up to heaven and God's throne. And this child will rule over the nations with a rod of iron. Now, we will study when we get to the 12th chapter about this woman, and we will see that it's a foreshadow that is telling us, it's a symbol that represents Israel, and the child is representing Jesus. And then we go and see that Satan is thrown down to the earth, and God's salvation, his power, his kingdom, and Christ's authority come at this time. So, woe to the earth and the sea. This is related also to the seventh trumpet. Now, looking at Revelation 13, remember this is picturing getting a big picture, we see that the dragon, that is Satan, stood on the seashore, and a beast came out of the sea. And as we study that, we will see this beast represents the Antichrist. And then the beast, it tells us, is like a leopard, and its feet is that of a bear. It has the mouth of a lion, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies against God. And the dragon, which is Satan, gives his power, his throne, and authority to the beast for 42 months, 3.5 years. And then those who dwell on the earth, everyone whose name has not been written from or before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb will be amazed and marvel and worship the beast. That's those that don't have their name in the book of life. And of course, the beast wars against the saints. And then another beast comes out of the earth, and it has two horns like a lamb, and spoke as a dragon. So we'll learn in this study when we get to 13 that this is a false prophet. And all of his authority comes from the dragon, which is Satan. And here we see that he causes great signs and fire from heaven to deceive. And he causes those that dwell on the earth to be made an image of the first beast and worship it. And then he causes all to be given a mark on the right hand or the forehead. And none can buy or sell without this mark. And the mark is 666, the number of a man. And we will study in detail on this in when we get to 13 of chapter 13 of Revelation. So, looking at chapter 14 now, we see here there's 144,000 of Israel that's before the Lamb on Mount Zion in heaven. And they were purchased and redeemed from the earth as first fruits to God and the Lamb. And they follow the Lamb, and they are blameless, and they sing a new song before the throne. Now looking at verses 6 through 20, we see an angel, and he was flying in mid-heaven, preaching the gospel. And then there was a second angel, and he proclaims, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." And then the third angel, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and takes his mark, then he drinks of the wine of God's wrath, and he is tormented, and the smoke of the torment goes up forever and ever." So we go on and see then there's a fourth angel, and it came from the temple in heaven, and it said to one that was like a son of man, that the hour to reap the earth has come. The one like a son of man reaped the earth with his sickle. So this is all the unbelievers, those that have never received the word of God. And you go on then, there's a fifth angel in chapter 14. And he came from the temple with a sharp sickle. And the sixth angel called to the angel with a sharp sickle to gather from the earth, and he gathered the grapes and threw them into the winepress of God's wrath. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stata, about 200 miles. Now going on to Revelation 15, just as an overview, we see another sign in heaven, a great and marvelous, amazing sign. And there are seven angels, and they have seven plagues. And they're the last to bring the plagues. And then after this, God's wrath will be finished. So the seven angels came out of the temple, and one of the four living creatures gave them seven bowls of God's wrath. And then we go on to chapter 16. In chapter 16, we'll study about these bowls and what's in them. I'll briefly go over it today. The first bowl was a loathsome, harmful, and malignant, painful sores that was given to those on earth that had the mark of the beast. And the second bowl The sea became blood, and everything in it died. The third bowl, rivers and waters, became blood. In the fourth bowl, the sun scorched men with fire. And the fifth bowl, the beast, throne, and kingdom became dark, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed, and they cursed God because of the pain and their sores. But they didn't repent. And the sixth bowl, the Euphrates River dried up for kings from the east to pass over it. And three demonic spirits came from the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet to gather kings of the earth for battle against God. And then they gathered them together to a place that's called Armageddon. And we will study this as we go forward about this great battle. And then we look at the seventh bowl. It's poured on the air, and a loud voice from the throne came from the temple and spoke and said, "It is done." And there was lightning, thunders, rumblings, a great earthquake, greater than any on earth. And then the great city split into three parts, and the nations and the cities fell. And Babylon the Great received the cup of God's fierce wrath, and every island and mountain fled away. Hailstones weighing 100 pounds fell, and men blasphemed and cursed God. So that will get us through the study or the reviewing then of Revelation 6. So we want to take time today to study some in chapter 4. Now, we're not going to do a lot in chapter 4 because this is going to come up later after we get through all the reviewing, all of the picturing of Revelation. But I want to go over chapter 4 and read this chapter, and we'll get some discussion today on this chapter. Starting with verse 1 of chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 1 and talk about it, and then we'll go forward. After these things, I looked, John looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I, John, had heard, like the sound of a trumpet, speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." So, this is the second vision, because the first vision took place on the earth. And now, we're seeing in that, we know that vision was a vision of Christ. Glorified God. It was him in chapter 1. So then, as John looked, he saw then a door, and it was a door that would admit John into the third heaven. Now, there are some places in Scripture where we see something about this third heaven. And we see that in Ezekiel. There he talks about the vision that was given to Ezekiel in chapter 1 was the vision of the four figures. And that's going to be part of what John sees, But I'll read this first verse in Ezekiel 1, the vision of for the four figures. Now it came about in the 30th year, on the fifth day of the fourth month, while I was by the river Chebar among the exiles, the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. So here we see that even in the Old Testament, God gave vision to this prophet Ezekiel, that he was able to see into heaven. He said the heavens were opened and he saw visions of God. Now again, we see in 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, 2nd verse, that Paul himself was given this vision. And I'll read this verse. He says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a man was caught up in the third heaven. So as you study that entire chapter in 2 Corinthians, you learn that Paul is speaking of himself, and he was allowed to go up into the third heaven. Now, looking back at verse 1, John, in this vision, remember he was on earth, but he was carried farther into heaven because of the one that spoke to him. It says a voice that he heard that was like the sound of a trumpet. And that trumpet, when a trumpet is sound, it gives authority. So that's what he's speaking of. This sound was an authority that was given to him. And then this voice, we know, was a superior person. And that voice said, come up here. So we see that John, in this vision, was carried up into heaven. Now let's go on and read in our study verses 2 and 3. Here we see in verse 2, immediately I, John, was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow round the throne like an emerald in appearance. So here we see, as John was carried in the Spirit, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the one that transferred him. And so, what did he see? This word that he saw, throne, is mentioned 11 times in this chapter, in chapter 4. And here, John was beholding, it said that he was amazed at the one that was sitting on the throne. And this throne was God's throne, and it was his authority and his sovereignty, his stately seat that he was seated on. And then in verse 3, it said, like in appearance, sitting, reigning. It says, and who was sitting was like a jasper and a sardis in appearance. So that was God himself. And these stones represent his glory, what it was like. First of all, it was about what was about to take place was the judgment of God. And then as we look at the stones that it mentioned here, it says a jasper and a sardis. These are stones. As we look into Scripture, we see that Exodus tells us about the best plate of the priest, the high priest, and it tells us the description. Let me read Exodus 28:17-20. You shall mount on this breastplate of the priest four rows of stones. The first row shall be like a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. And they shall be set in gold filigree. Now, that was what the priest wore on their breast, the breastplate that they wore. And then when you look at that, these stones were shining, they were blazing. In other words, they were God's glory. And it was also his blazing wrath that was about to be poured out. So John's vision is not of peace and comfort. It's flashing glory, splendor, and it reveals the terrors of God's consuming fire. And Hebrews 12:29 tells us, for God, our God, is a consuming fire. So who and what was about the throne? Let's look at verses 3 and 4, part of 3 and 4. It says, there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And verse 4, this is Revelation 4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Now this rainbow, the rainbow represented splendor and glory and power of God. It was God's covenant of faithfulness, of mercy and grace. And we see that he made that covenant in Genesis at the time. Let's see, I've got it on the screen for Genesis 9:13-17. This is what, I'll read this and then we'll talk about it. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. Now this is God speaking. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow will be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all the flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and you and all the flesh of the earth. So we know then that the rainbow is that covenant or promise that God made that there would never be a flood upon the earth again. Now then, looking at chapter 5, let's see, go back and look at chapter 5 and see what we see there. This is the throne, and we see what's taking place. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. Okay, the first was creature like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had a face like that of man, and the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. So let's see what this is talking about here. These 24 thrones, and there are 24 elders that are sitting on the throne. And so here we see then in this fifth chapter, these elders represent people, men, older men, ambassadors, or representatives for the people. And so what people then would be represented? These thrones show the reign, and it's with Christ. And they also, as we look at that, let's go into the next verses here, going to verse 8. And the four living creatures, this is chapter 4, verse 8. And the four living creatures that was around the throne, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and because of Your will, they existed and are created." So here we see around this throne are the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And as we look at this, we see that here in this, it says, first of all, let's look at 24. That means complete. It's an assembly or a council. So, who then would fill this description? Remember, the rapture has come before this time that is the future time. The rapture comes first. And so this could be this 24 representing the representation and assembly, could be those that were raptured. And we'll study more in detail on that. And what comes out from the throne, going back and looking at verse 5, we see that flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And here we see God's presence here, and it's representing the righteousness of God. And it's also representing the judgment of God. And it shows us then in these verses that He has all power and all authority. So we saw before then this was before the throne were seven lamps of fire, and it was torches, not lamps. And then there was the seven spirits of God. And as you study about these seven spirits of God, you can go to the book of Acts, and that's where we saw in the New Testament, where on the day of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit appeared and fell upon those that Jesus had told them to go and wait for the Holy Spirit. Let me read Acts 2 and chapter 2 of Acts, verse 3. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. So that is what we see here in this chapter, these seven torches of fire. It was also seven spirits of God. And we know that those spirits represent the Holy Spirit. Let's look at, and I just read about when the Holy Spirit came. And then in verse 6 that we just read, it said that here in heaven was, said that the appearance of it was a sea of glass. And also there were four living creatures, and they were full of eyes. And then it said there was no seas in heaven, but there was a vast pavement of glass that was shining clear and sparkling like crystal. In other words, it was dazzling. And then we saw in that same those same verses, there were four living creatures. Now, looking in the book of Ezekiel, we see where Ezekiel was given a vision. And let's read chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "And each went straight forward, wherever the Spirit was about to go, they would go without turning as they went." Now, this was the vision that Ezekiel saw that God gave to him about these four, same four that he is talking to John about that was around the throne. They were living beings. They were something that was alive. And Ezekiel 17, the verse in first chapter of Ezekiel, said whenever they moved in any of their four directions without turning as they moved. And so, as we go on farther, we are seeing, as we read in, let's see, in verse, these that, first of all, before we leave there, these four living creatures, their eyes symbolized awareness or alertness and of knowledge. They had all of these eyes that they might see all things. They were all seeing and alerting. And they were living, and they were called cherub. And it says in verse 7 that they were like a lion. Let me go back to verse 7 in our reading. It says, the first creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, and the third had a face like that of man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. Now the lion represented something majestic with strength, And the lion was known as the king of beasts. And then the next was like a calf. That would be something domestic. It gives service and patience. And the next one was like an eagle flying, and that showed speed and sovereignty. And like a man, that showed the intelligence and the power that all of these living creatures had. That's what they all represented. Strength, a service, a speed, sovereignty, and power. Now, let's look more at some scripture about this. I think I have, a Revelation. I don't have Revelation 15 on this. So, these living creatures had, in verse 8, 9, it said, living creatures had six wings full of eyes that covered their faces, and they worshiped. And they couldn't even look on God, or they would be consumed. And they had covered feet that stood on holy ground, and they could fly with mighty speed. And then it talks about giving honor and glory to God. Let's look at verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, full of eyes and round within, and day and night they do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive power and glory and honor, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created. So they're going to be singing a song of praise, giving glory and honor and praise to God, praising God for His eternity, who was, who is, and who is to come. So where did they put their crowns? They put their crowns at His feet. And six times the elders prostrate themselves before God Almighty. In other words, they fall down before Him. Remember, as we studied in our last study in part one of Revelation, that entire lesson was on overcomers. And we studied that they were promised crowns, and also that they would cast these crowns before the throne. And then in verse 11, that last verse that I read, why then did they cast their crowns? Then where is their focus? Their focus is on God, because God is worthy, because He is Lord and Creator of all things. And He says, and because of your will, they existed and were created. So God didn't have to create anything else. He had created it all, and He spoke it into existence from the very beginning, when He created everything that He created. So that's where we will end in our study today, which was lesson 4. And then next week, we will go forward and study in lesson 5. And that will be, again, picturing Revelation in chapters 17 through 22. And then we'll also take time to do some studying on chapter 5. But let us close our study today in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do pray that even though we're going through so much overview, so much repetition, I pray that you will give us patience and help us to know that it's all that we'll be able to bring it together when we complete our study. Right now it seems scattered and maybe a little hard to put it together, but we know that the Holy Spirit's the one that's teaching us and that He doesn't make mistakes. You never make mistakes. And we know that if we'll be patient and wait upon you and just study and read your word, then you'll bring it all together, that we'll be able to see these things that are soon about to happen, things that's going to happen very, very soon in the future. And we know that you're in control, and we give you, Father, all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.